redemption year. Manchester City, the kings of English football again. And this year, they're hoping that this will be the first of a triple crown, because Gundogan could do what even his illustrious predecessors didn't manage, and take them to an FA Cup and a Champions League as well.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as ever, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
For the penultimate time this season. Yes, this is us getting close to the end of the season now. We've got one more podcast to do this month, and that'll be it. Well, ish. That'll be it for the summer, apart from the stuff we do for the Women's World Cup. But, yeah. We're going to have a nice little break after this. But we had a nice break last week. We've been away for a couple of weeks now. Not the sort of time you'd expect someone to take a break near the end of the season, but, you know, sometimes holidays have got to happen and sometimes we just run out of things. There's only so much you can talk about Arsenal failing to really compete at the end of the season or Sunderland going out of the playoffs. There's only so much you want to talk about this sort of stuff, isn't there, Terry? I mean, Terry, you checked out the season in March, didn't you?
Yeah, been pretty much flip-flop since March, really. So, yeah, I mean, I can just point out that I didn't take a break. I was working. That's why I couldn't do the podcast. So I don't know what your... Well, I do know what your excuse was, Graham, but mine was that I was honest toiling, sadly. Yeah, Palace, not really worth talking about Palace, really, is there? The most exciting thing that's going on about Palace is, shall we extend Roy Hodgson's contract by another season or shall we not? Which, you know, in terms of content, he's pretty thin gruel, it's got to be said.
Oh, come on, Terry. Please let the man retire, for God's sake. I mean, he just wants to go to his shed. Oh, Palace,
dude,
come on, stop being mean.
If it was up to me, then that would be absolutely fine. And we'd go and go with God. But, I mean, what worries me is that he took over with, a dozen games left. He said, look at all these fantastic attacking players I've got. I need 3 wins, and then this is job done. So, you know, and that's fine. And so that's why he just like front loaded the formation and they got the wins that they needed. That is not really going to go down over the course of an entire season. And I'm a little bit worried about what it's going to look like under Hodgson under an entire season. But really, does anybody really, really want to talk about Crystal Palace at this time of the season? It's the 22nd of May and there's so much other football that has yet to be answered yet. Really? I don't think so. If I was you, I'd cut this whole section out.
Well, I would do, but it's not up to me, is it? I don't make the rules around here, do I? Well, it is. It is up to me, isn't it? Really, I suppose. Yes, that can't be denied. But yes, Terry, you're right. I was up to something else last weekend, and it's going to be a bit of a shock to our listeners. It won't be to Jan, because Jan likes a bit of the egg, doesn't he? But yeah, I went to see Egg last week.
Good Lord!
Yeah, I went to watch the Egg in France. I went to watch L'Œuf.
L'Œuf.
Yes.
I think L'Œuf is fine, you know? I think the Egg is like not... But L'Œuf is another matter.
Yeah. I went to Bordeaux. It was in the top 14 or top 14, as they would call it over there. And it was a fun day out. It was in the old Bordeaux soccer stadium, one they've used for World Cup games in the past, which is a beautiful 1920s, 1930s stadium, bowl type arena. The atmosphere there was great. The game itself was... Well, it's rugby union, really. So it was okay. It was fun to do while you're on holiday. You know, you get a bit experimental sometimes when you're in international waters. But you know, it is what it is. I mean, I'm not a convert to rugby, put it that way. But it certainly was probably more enjoyable to go and watch it in France than it is over here, anyway.
Well done you. Well done you, Grim. First step, probably on a slippery slope.
Yeah. So, but Jan, you are wearing your Sunderland shirt because you're going off to play football after this, but we should just have a little bit of chat about the fact that Sunderland didn't make it to the playoff final, as you predicted. And in the end, with the playoff set up as they are, it did seem to be that it was the teams that were perhaps more tight at the back rather than more adventurous going forward that went through into the final for the playoffs of the championship, with both Middlesbrough and Sunderland going out to Luton and Coventry.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, we over the two legs, the first leg at the Stadium of Light, Sunderland were wonderful at playing with a makeshift back line and still looking good going forward. Just the ball was on the floor all the time. It was really beautiful football and we deserved the win. And Luton were their physical selves, and I don't mean that to knock their style of football. They are a physical, strong team, and that's how they play their football. And we held them off, but in the second leg, they just blew us away. They were excellent. They played to their strengths, which was, there's a lot of set pieces. There was a lot of height in the box, and we just couldn't cope with them. So good luck to them. Good luck to them. And it's good to see Coventry there as well, sadly at the expense of Borough, which isn't sad at all. But I would rather it played itself out the way it did rather than us going to a playoff final against Middlesbrough, which would have just been awful. It really would have been awful for many reasons, which I won't bore the listeners with. But it makes for an interesting final, actually. Those two clubs have got a really checkered history. In fact, well, it's not really checkered. It's been awful, the recent history for both clubs, for both Luton and Coventry. And here they stand on the verge of the Premier League. So that'll be a really interesting spectacle, I think. If it was me, I'd go for Luton, just because I've seen more of them, I suppose. But they look like they've got something about them, I think, this season.
I just think it would be hilarious if Kenilworth Road was a Premier League ground, because people were saying that they should have been kicked out of the league for the state of that ground back in the 90s when they were, like, up there. And the fact that it's still their ground is even more hilarious. So that's quite funny, because I think it would just like put a little dent in the shine and the polish that is the Premier League's marketing machine. That's all I see. Just looking forward to that on the Match of the Day graphics. I feel Coventry may have a little bit more about them, because I think they've got a bit more of a fan base to maybe hold their own in the Premier League. But I don't think either club is really massively well equipped to manage in the top flight. Yeah, I wish both clubs well.
Well, that's all we can do, isn't it, really?
May the best team win, et cetera, and so on.
Well, that's coming up this weekend, actually, isn't it? So, and usually, I suppose, if it was any other time of the season, well, you'd read it in the box set, but we're not doing a box set this week, so I've got to spend the next 20 minutes figuring out how I'm going to close up this podcast. Yeah. Stay tuned, listeners. But I suppose what we should talk about is Manchester City, because, well, they've won the league. They're champions. Hurrah for them.
Hurrah for them.
Yes.
Hurrah.
A wonderful, well-timed yawn put in there, Terry. I'm sure it wasn't a stage yawn at all. I'm sure that was
utterly genuine. No, I'm genuinely tired. It's all right. Yeah.
Man City are the champions again. Three times in a row, and, well, will they ever be stopped? Probably not. They've got enough lawyers to get rid of those 115 charges, haven't they? We've got the FA Cup coming weekend after next, as far as we're concerned right now. Then they've got the Champions League final. Jan, nothing can stop them. The treble is theirs, isn't it? I mean, they're going to have Man United on toast. And then Inter, who are they?
It'll be amazing if they do it, considering the pressure that Arsenal put them under across the whole season. Man United, I think, will be a really tough challenge for them. And the Champions League final, it feels like this should be their year. I think they'll beat Inter. But I think the FA Cup, I'm just not sure. FA Cup's got one of those shit happens in the FA Cup, doesn't it? And, it doesn't like it when people start assuming which way it's going to go. But to be fair, they've been brilliant this season. City, I really enjoyed watching them against Real Madrid the other week. And Erling Haaland deservedly gets a lot of plaudits because he's been incredible this season. But it was nice to see Bernardo Silva really stand out in that win, because I've always been a fan of his. I think he's a great player. They were talking about getting rid of him in the summer, but that could have just been newspaper talk. But hopefully he's done enough to hang around for another season, because I think he's just fantastic. it's great to see Jack Grealish had a great season with them as well. I think he's been really good, and you can see he's really enjoying his football, and he was quite happy to wind nearly everybody up in the games against Madrid. So, yeah, it's good for them. I mean, I don't agree with how they've got there off the field, obviously, who would? But what a fantastic side, and if it'd be good, nice to see them get all three, but I think it's going to be very, very tough.
Nice even-handed response there, Jan. Terry, you going to be just as even-handed, or are you going to say something controversial now?
No, down with City. Boo, boo, hiss, boo. I mean, what City have done is extraordinary. I mean, yes. Okay, so there are obviously question marks around how they've got about their business in terms of how much money they spent, and there's good question marks about that in terms of breaking the rules. That was all yet to be determined. But what is arguable is that they have expertly assembled an extremely good, world-class football team with amazing players, coached brilliantly. This is unarguable. And you don't, you know, you can have all the money in the world and still not do that. Look at PSG.
Yes.
Absolute bin fire of a football club, right? All the money in the world. So, I mean, it is not a guarantee of success. And it's not enough to just simply say, oh, well, you know, City have got all the money in the world. You know, so no wonder they win everything. No, that is genuinely not how it works. When Guardiola leaves, City will have a problem. Unless there's some really good, proper succession planning going on there, City are going to have a problem. It's going to be a challenge to maintain that level of performance. And bringing Haaland in, although he's had a few up and down moments, the downs have not been very, very down at all. And he is obviously an amazing player. I saw an awful lot of him in the last two seasons when he was playing at Borussia Dortmund. I think it's a bit of a shame, in a way, what's happened to Jack Grealish, because there was always something of the maverick, the slightly imperfect maverick about Jack Grealish, which I enjoyed when he was at Villa. And Guardiola has kind of ironed out the kinks there. He's now a very efficient player who participates in the system. And there's less maverickness about him. But as a consequence, he's a far more effective player who's probably going to win a lot more stuff as a result. And so it's disappointing on the one side. But at the same time, I mean, when he's in full flow, he's magnificent to watch. And as an Englishman, it's tremendously good news, because it means we could get a more consistent Jack Grealish, which is fantastic news for us. So brilliant. Very quickly then, they should have won the Champions League against Chelsea. That is a game they should have won. I hope, for their sake, that Guardiola might have learned any lessons about going off-piste or freelancing while he's, you know, trying out new crazy things in a Champions League final. I think if City, to use a cricketing parlance, bowl straight at the stumps, they will beat Inter. And the same goes for Manchester United as well. So it should all be there for them. But as we know, yeah, football is chaos and things can go wrong.
They do have a bit of a blind spot when it comes to the Champions League, but it's like they're edging closer all the time, isn't it? It goes to semi-finals, to losing in finals, to going ahead and finally winning it. And I think that's going to be the case this time. As for the FA Cup, I think it would be odd if they stuffed up their treble chance against United, the only other club in England to do it, at Wembley. But I got a sneaky feeling that that's probably the more likely out of the two finals. They are of getting it wrong. And because it's a week before the Champions League final, there may be something in their head that their key players may be holding something back slightly. But then again, United are United, and we know that they are perfectly capable of being stuffed 5-0 by City, as well as being able to sneak a win against them. I think that performance they put in against Newcastle in the League Cup final was perhaps more to do with Newcastle not turning up properly for it, rather than Manchester United actually playing unbeatable football. But who knows? I mean, maybe City will turn up and do exactly what Newcastle did. I seriously wouldn't rule that out, actually, at this stage. I think that there is, I think, a good chance of that happening. When I say good chance, I say there's like about a 20-25% chance of that happening. I still think that you play that five times, City are winning it four times, I think.
You wouldn't want to put any money on a United win.
Good God, no. You never rely on United for anything. I mean, let's face it.
True.
They're both going to be watchable games, I hope, anyway. Having it against United, the cup final against United, will make it a watchable view, because what you don't want is it to be the last time City were there at the cup final when they absolutely tore apart Watford. That was just a poor watch, that was. I hope that Inter bring the chaos to the Champions League final. I think this is a better Final Four City to have, because if it was them against Bayern or them against PSG, it would be all about the system, all about the process. And it would be just like when Bayern played PSG in the final, one of the dullest Champions League finals ever, because it was just so organised.
It really was.
Yeah, no chaos at all. None. No chaos.
I think it's just worth underlining, if I may, the second leg of the game of the semi-final, because Real Madrid, I think, tried to bring the chaos, because they didn't bring much else. They didn't have any kind of shape.
No.
Just went out there and said, right, lads, vibe your way, like, and bring chaos. And City just went, meh, nah, you know, and just played through it and never really looked in any danger of losing that game. I reckon Inter, and this is a bit of a, obviously a bit of a Serie A, an Italian stereotype, but I'm going to say it anyway. But I think Inter are probably better at bringing chaos than Real Madrid. and so I think it's going to be a suffer challenge. But yeah, it'll be order versus chaos, which again makes it just that more intriguing. It could be one for the ages, that final. It really could.
Yeah. Well, if we're talking about order versus chaos, how would we describe Sevilla versus Roma in the Europa League final?
That's just going to be chaos versus chaos, I think. that's going to be just like a ridiculously emotional final. It's very difficult to get a bead on Sevilla because they've only just started to turn things around. And because this new guy, Mendilibar, who's this fantastic coach, he's been around for ages. He's never coached a top side, really. I mean, he's coached in the La Liga, but he's never coached a top side. So he was given this chance to take over at Sevilla because they've made so many poor choices. You know, really, he is a veteran journeyman coach who's just been given the chance to take over a top side. And he's absolutely grabbed it with both hands. He's done an amazing job. He's got them up to eighth or ninth, I think, in La Liga. And yeah, through to the Europa League final. I mean, I could probably coach Sevilla to the Europa League final because, you know, that's what they do. But if there's an order versus chaos parallel to there, then it would be Sevilla who would bring the order, because I think they're a bit more process driven. But again, only because Mendilibar's got it back to basics and they play very, very basic football, but according to the people who actually know stuff about this sort of thing. Roma, on the other hand, are all about the chaos, because Mourinho, clearly, I think Mourinho has tapped into the mentality of that club and of that city and has gone, what these people want is an absolute shit fest every single week. And I'm going to bring it to them. And I think he's loving it there. And I think that they kind of, I mean, I still feel he'll be out because, you know, he's Mourinho and they can only live with the guy for so long. But that's a really good fit, those two clubs. And he brought it and he's done it. He's done what he does. He wins trophies, apart from when he's at Tottenham. He wins trophies. He won the Conference League, and now I think he's going to win the Europa League. And I wouldn't mind betting if he wins the Champions League with Roma next season.
Oh, my word. When he left Italy in 2010, he'd just won the treble. He'd won Serie A, he'd won the Coppa Italia, and he was the champions of Europe. They beat Bayern in the final. And yet he returned to Italy, 11 years later, having been fired from Tottenham, having messed it up at United, basically like in tattered rags. When he left Italy, he was 20 foot tall and solid gold, and then he comes back a shell of himself. And yet, within, one season, he's the first winner of the Europa Conference League, gets a tattoo of it on his shoulder, and then wins the Europa League. I don't know if that's a permanent one. I'm not sure. You never can tell with old Jose, can you? And then this year, I mean, it's in the stars. If anyone can beat Sevilla in a Europa League final,
it's Jose.
Jose is going to Jose, isn't he?
He's inevitable.
I agree with your assessment. I mean, he's been around the block so many times that he knows how to outfox anybody and to bring chaos, to quote Terry there. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting one to watch. I'll be tuned in, but not to the other final, though, obviously.
You know what, the Conference League final, but... Hey, you said about people being around the block, being wily, so experienced. What about David Moyes? What about David? Like, come on, bring your inside knowledge of David Moyes. How's he done it with this West Ham side? A West Ham side that was skirting dangerously close to the relegation zone for most of the season. Thankfully, there are a hell of a lot more really, really terrible teams in the Premier League for them to avoid it. And yet he's taken them to the brink of success, the glitz and glamour of the Europa Conference League, all the way to the final. This is this is unprecedented. Not since the days of Fulham getting to the Europa League final or Middlesbrough getting to there. You've got West Ham there now.
I'm not sure West Ham fans are like being grouped together with Fulham and Middlesbrough, but let's just go with it. Let's go with it. I think they've got... I can't say a good word about that man. He's shit. He really is. But he seems to have fluked it again at West Ham. I mean, you don't get to a final of a European tournament unless you've played some good football and overcome the odds. And they've clearly done that. But I still think West Ham are going to get rid of him in the close season. In the end, this is a game, you know, Fiorentina are mid-table in Serie A. West Ham are lower mid-table in the Premier League. If that was pay-per-view, not many people are going to be watching it, are they? So, I mean, it'll be good for West Ham fans if they, to, you know, to have their moment in the sun and have a bit of glory in Europe, which will be great. But I still don't think that he's the man that, that certainly the West Ham fans I speak to want to continue at the club. I think he'll probably go out on a high, which will really annoy me. So what order are these games? Well, I know what order they're being played in, but are they all over the same weekend? I haven't looked at the schedule.
No, they're not. The first one is Sevilla-Roma. That's on the 31st of May, on Wednesday night. The following Wednesday is the Conference League final, Fiorentina-West Ham. And then the Saturday after that is the Champions League final, Man City versus Inter. Basically August, really.
I'm just looking up the Champions League qualifiers for next year and see when they start. Chances are they're probably only a couple of weeks after that.
Yeah, I'm sure the Maltese champions will be playing the Liechtenstein champions, I think, and the week afterwards, I'm sure.
The preliminary round draw is on the 13th of June, with the first leg kicking off on the 27th of June.
So the draw is 2 days after the final.
Basic, yeah.
That's crazy.
It never ends, guys. It never ends.
It never, ever, ever ends. But what's left? What is left? I mean, the title's already gone in England. And even though the leagues don't finish until June in most of Europe, most of the titles are already decided. Barcelona are already champions in Spain. Napoli are already champions in Italy. And no matter what Terry says about PSG being a basket case, they are pretty much guaranteed to lift the title in France. But Terry, thank God for the Bundesliga bringing us some excitement for final days of league action, because I'd say it's going to go down to the wire, but can we shut the door and assume that everything goes according to plan? Dortmund's home record is so good. It's so good. They can't mess it up here, can they?
Well, you can shut the door and assume everything goes according to plan, Graham, if you choose. But I think that probably that would not be altogether wise. So for those that don't know, there was a massive change in the affairs of the Bundesliga title race when Bayern Munich lost to RB Leipzig 3-1, the first time Leipzig had ever won at the Allianz. And it left the door open for Dortmund if they could go to Augsburg and get a win. Augsburg, obviously a relegation threatened side, but notoriously tough team to play, particularly when there's so much at stake. And it was a nerve-shredding encounter, which Dortmund eventually won 3-0. But I'd be under no illusions that was a tight 1-0 game that kind of got away from Augsburg towards the end. Huge props to Sebastian Haller, the number nine there, who's had a really amazing season, obviously considering coming back from testicular cancer, to play such a successful role. So basically, it's down to the final ground of the season. And if Dortmund can beat Mainz, who lost to Stuttgart, who are terrible, 3-1 yesterday at the Westfalenstadion, they will win the Bundesliga, whatever Bayern Munich happen to do. Bayern have got Cologne. That will be a tricky one because Cologne are tricky, but I don't think that they are that tricky. The assumption is Bayern will win and Dortmund just need to hold their nerve, basically. Now, their record at the Westfalen is amazing. They're averaging about 4 goals a game at the Westfalen in 2023. And they really should comfortably win this game, but obviously, you know, there's going to be so many nerves in place. The good news is hopefully Jude Bellingham will be back from his one game out injured and he should hopefully be able to take control of the game, settle any nerves and Dortmund be the first team to win the Bundesliga in 10 seasons.
Since they last won it 11 years ago. Yeah, I watched the game yesterday. I was coming back from London. I was watching it on my phone. I turned it on probably about 5 minutes into the second half. just before Emre Can hit the inside of the post. And that was pretty much, you get the feeling of how the game had gone from the stats up to that point. But Augsburg were into it, aren't they? But I suppose there is still a danger that they can go down, isn't there?
Yeah, so they may well go down. There's tons to play for in the Bundesliga. The Champions League hasn't been sorted yet. The relegations hasn't been. Only one club is confirmed as relegated, and that's Hertha. They were relegated at the weekend. It's massively open. It's all going to be on. If you've got Sky in the UK, it'll all be on Sky. Well, a lot of it will be on Sky. So do check it out. It should be a very, very exciting final stage of the season. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about Dortmund if they win. But already the German media, being super premature, they're already writing Bayern's obituaries and you're just thinking, what are you doing? I mean, I could say, if I wanted to, that this is the pro-Bayern German media putting the mockers on Dortmund. But not even I'm that stupid to say that. But yeah, it's been an amazing ride so far. So fingers crossed and good luck to the lads. Hopefully they'll pull it off.
Yeah, as you say, the Champions League spots aren't all decided there yet, because it's going to be one of either Union Berlin or Freiburg in the Champions League next season. Is that being celebrated as something to say, well, isn't this great? Look, teams like this can get into the Champions League, or is that being treated as, where are the teams that should be there?
No, I don't believe that there is any, at the moment, any kind of feeling that, you know, well, why are they here? Why isn't it Stuttgart? Why isn't it Bremen? Why isn't it Leverkusen or Mönchengladbach? I mean, I think really everyone is just so locked in on the prospect of Bayern not winning the Bundesliga that everything else is a little bit of a sideshow. I mean, if either team qualify for the Champions League, it is going to be an amazing achievement for various different reasons. You know, both teams have come, I mean, particularly Union, because theirs is a meteoric ride, whereas Freiburg has been an awful lot more patient. Union Berlin's is somewhat something of a meteoric ride, and that would be extraordinary. And particularly on the season that their traditionally larger, better supported, larger supported, I should say, rival is Hertha Berlin has been relegated. So, I mean, that would be pretty amazing if actually the first team in ages from Berlin to get the Champions League was actually Union of all teams. Amazing story. But I hope Freiburg get it personally, because I like Christian Streich and I just like what they've done there. And I hope that they get it. They won't win it, but I think that they'll be tough opponents and will relish it. I think they'll enjoy. They've had a few seasons in the Europa League. And I think they're ready to field two teams a week for the Champions League. I think they'll be ready for the challenge, whereas I'm not certain Union will be.
The great news about if Dortmund do get over the line and deny Bayern an 11th straight title is the fact that no one will care if Leipzig win the cup final, will they?
I'd completely forgotten that Leipzig were even in the cup final. There's a broader point that I may write about this. The problem with that weekend that's happened is that it is a further legitimization of the Leipzig project, because it's a statement win for Leipzig to go to Bayern and get something. You know, I mean, and so I don't want to be like, you know, I don't know why if you go, yeah, come on, Dortmund. I'm like, yes, but Leipzig, like, you know, it makes people like Leipzig, and like anything that happens where people like Leipzig, even for a few seconds, you know, it has to be massively discouraged. But, you know, it's happened, and, you know, fingers crossed that they'll lose the final. But I don't know. Maybe they're making the DFB Pokal their own.
Well, yes. That's all finishing up on Saturday, isn't it, the league, with the cup final the week afterwards. Yeah, it's been bad news for Berlin so far with Hertha going down. But Union may get the Champions League. But even more bad news for Berlin is that Tennis Borussia got relegated as well. They're going into the Oberliga now. So
yeah, that's grim, because that's a team that used to be a relatively big club in Berlin. But yeah, they've trundled along for some time. So yeah, and they've had all manner of crazy ownership issues there at Tennis. It's got to be said.
Jan, welcome back. Jan dropped out there with power issues. That's why I just had to go straight into letting Terry talk about German football. So...
Yeah. Yeah, we weren't intending to talk this long about German football, by the way. But anyway, yes. I thought I did really well, frankly.
Yeah, no, you did fantastic. Well done, you.
Thank you. Welcome back, Jan.
Well, it's usually about this time that I would be wrapping up with the nice, easy thing of saying, well, what are you watching this weekend? But we know what we're going to be watching this weekend. We're going to be watching the closing weekend of the Premier League, and we're going to be watching the closing weekend of the Bundesliga as well. So plenty to go on in the Bundesliga, both ends, but only really the relegation battle in the Premier League. Unless, of course, you want to get excited about the Conference League qualification, because Tottenham, Villa, they're going hammer and tongs. I mean, I'm just too excited about that. So I'll have to contain myself until the weekend when all that will be laid bare. But that's all we have time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton and from Terry McFellan, it's goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
See? I don't know how to close a show without the box set. I'm so used to it now.
Yeah. I'm relying on it.
That's the only reason we keep it going, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
spending hours writing these, well, minutes writing these previews. Only just so that he can close out his show.
Yep, that's me. Right, well, Jan, now you've sorted out your electrics, you can get off to football then.
At least my wife can make some meat to eat for herself.
Yeah, that's true.
Poor lady. I went to the house and she was like, oh, it's all...
What do I do? It's all gone up.